Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
It doesn't feel like that's what God's doing. It doesn't feel like God is strengthening our faith. But it is an opportunity for our faith to be strengthened instead of weakened. It's an opportunity for our faith to be fortified instead of depleted. It's an opportunity for us to stand, and when we've done all, as Paul wrote, to continue to stand, and that our faith is strengthened. And we've been looking at that scripture in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that says that those who wait upon the Lord, they will soar as wings on eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And it just is an amazing thing for us to catch hold of that and not feel condemned in the wait and not feel like God's not listening, but to know that there are many, many, many women and men in the Bible that God on purpose caused to wait. And we looked at the life of Abraham, and today I want to glance at the life of David. So we look at the life of David, and you know, David is known to be a man after God's own heart. He is known to be the greatest king of Israel. He was a warrior, a worshiper, and a king. And down through his bloodline, the Messiah was born. So he was chosen of God. And I love studying David. I love reading the Psalms that he wrote because they can express the deepest part of our being when we just cannot even have the words to express the deepest elation or the deepest sorrow or the greatest elation. Whatever I'm feeling, I can find something in the book of Psalms. David was a deep guy. But a worshiper, a warrior, and a king. And yet, I looked at his life, and when I was looking at, you know, God, show me people that you made wait. David is a huge example of waiting. So I want us to look at his life. David was prepared as he waited in a shepherd's field with a bunch of sheep. I had to ask myself, well, how was he prepared to be the greatest king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, the person chosen for the Messiah to be born out of his bloodline, a warrior, a worshiper, a king, everything that we would want to be, everything that every man and every little boy would want to be is David. How was he prepared for that? And he was prepared by waiting in a shepherd's field. God told the prophet Samuel that he wanted him to anoint a new king. Saul was a huge disappointment to God. Saul was a huge disappointment to God because Saul was great looking and he was a great leader. But he didn't obey God. And he also had a lot of problems having to do with jealousy. And it brought him down. So God is asking this prophet Samuel to anoint a new king of Israel. And if you look at your handout there, it says in 1 Samuel 16:6, when they arrived, Samuel saw the eldest son. This is David's oldest brother. And thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord. You see what had happened. Let me give you a little bit of background. God had asked Samuel to pick a new king, and Samuel knew to go to the house of Jesse. That's David's father. David's father, Jesse, had 8 sons. David being the youngest, son number 8. And so Samuel had all of these sons pass before him to ask God, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? So the good-looking oldest brother, which would be the obvious choice, especially in the Hebrew culture, because the oldest son was the inheritor. The oldest one got the goods. And so here's Eliab passing in front of Samuel. And Samuel says, the Lord's anointed surely stands before me. In 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's one of my favorite scriptures. That's one of my favorite scriptures because sometimes even my outward appearance or your outward appearance, it's not just what you look like physically. Sometimes it's what you're doing, the outward appearance of what you're doing. And God sees hearts. He sees motives. He sees beyond the outward appearance. And I'm just wondering if maybe he saw that Eliab wouldn't have gone through that preparation waiting phase. You know, often I've read those scriptures and I thought, well, maybe Eliab had some problems in his life that God didn't like. But see, God sees our hearts past, present, and future. And I think he might have seen in Eliab that he wasn't going to hang on to God. What I've seen in the Word of God over and over and over again, it's not the perfect people that God chooses. It's not even the people that mature real quickly and stop making mistakes. It's the people that no matter what they've done or continue to do, and no matter what the circumstances look like, they refuse to let go of God. Like Peter. I'm going to teach something else. I better get back to Jason. Peter didn't let go of God. Even when he denied Jesus, he came back. See, I think God chooses men and women who will just be willing to wait and not let go and not become so distraught and disappointed in themselves that they let go of their Creator and their Father who loves them and wants to do something with their life. Not letting go sometimes means forgiving yourself. And then the scripture says in 1 Samuel 16 that the next oldest brother, Abinadab, passed by, and he was not the one. And the next oldest brother, Shammah, passed by, and he was not the one. In 1 Samuel 16:10, Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse said, but he's tending the sheep. He was given the least important job. So here's Samuel going, okay, I know that there's supposed to be a king out of the house of Jesse. So Jesse, tell me, did I see all your sons? Because God has not verified to me that any are king. Matter of fact, he said no. And Jesse says, well, yeah, I've got one kid, my youngest one, but he's out with the sheep. He's just out with the sheep, a really unimportant job. So he sent him and had him brought in, and he was ruddy with fine appearances and handsome features. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him, for he is the one. So they sent for David, and they anointed him with oil in front of his brothers. 1 Samuel 16:13, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers from that day on. And if you have a Bible, underline that. From the day that they anointed him on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And then Samuel went back to Ramah. And where did David go? See, because he was just anointed king of Israel. He was just chosen out of his country, out of his brothers, to be king of Israel. And the Samuel, the prophet of God, anointed him. And Samuel went back to Ramah. Where did David go? Anyone know? He went back to the sheep. See, sometimes God gives us a vision, and it's a great vision, or we see ourselves serving God in some way. And I'm not talking about just ministry. It can be business. It's your life. Because we're not here to give portions of our life to God. It's to give our whole life to God. And God can give us such a strong anointing and such a strong presence. But every single person, I can see in the Word of God that God has chosen because he can see their hearts, past, present, and future, has had to wait and wait. and wait. So David went back to the sheep. Well, in the meantime, the Philistines come and they attack Israel. 1 Samuel 17:2, Saul, the present king of Israel, and the Israelites were assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. And the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other with the valley between them. And then here's our familiar story about Goliath. But sometimes we hear this story and we don't quite know where it fits into David's life. So I want you to be really aware David's been anointed, he's been chosen, and he's back in the shepherd's field waiting, just serving his father and waiting. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will be your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine, or Philistine, said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight together." Well, on hearing his words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, David. You know, the Bible has all these little subtle words, like now, where they just, it's just like the writers of the Bible kind of shift gears. It's like the Holy Spirit shifts gears. And we go from verse 17:11, 1 Samuel 17:11, where it says the Israelites are dismayed and terrified, to verse 17:12, where it says, "Now David." It's like, watch this. It's kind of like what the Lord is saying. Now David was the son of Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. And Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well and advanced in years. And Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. See, the 3 oldest who weren't chosen went to fight in the king's army. And David, who was anointed as king, went back to the shepherd's field. The firstborn, Eliab, the second, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took a stand. Now David said to his son, Jesse said to his son David, "Take this roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit, see how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them." And so if you look down in verse 17:20 of 1 Samuel, it says, "Early in the morning, David left the flock." Why? Why did he leave the flock? Because his father told him to. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to his battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other, and David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. Now, I just got to ask you a question right there. You think his brothers were happy to see him? See, his dad told him to go and check on your brothers. But his brothers weren't happy to see him. As he was talking to them, verse 23, Goliath, the Philistine, champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from fear. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down from here? Come down here And with whom do you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. And David says, now what have I done? You know what's significant about that word now? Is that it's very obvious that David's brothers, Eliab in particular, have judged his heart before. You know, so often God will give us a vision or give us something that we know in our hearts we're to do with our life, and we're in this waiting period, and we're in this preparation period, and all of us have a shepherd's field. All of us do. Where we think, God, you've given me a bigger vision for my business, or you've given me a bigger vision for my family, or you've given me a bigger vision for this ministry, and yet I'm in this preparation field. And as God starts to call us out, just as David's father, Jesse, called him out to go check on his brothers, you will have your heart judged, misjudged, because none of us can judge another person's heart. And so here's David saying, now what did I do? And it's very obvious that his brothers all along have judged his heart. But there's a huge lesson in what David does. 1 Samuel 17:29, now what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? But 1 Samuel 17:30 says what David did. It's the very first four words. He then turned away. You know, sometimes people closest to you will judge you for your past mistakes. And even though God's given you a vision for your life or you've grown in God, they won't let you pass that past mistake, or they won't let you pass their miscalculations or their misinterpretations of your motives. But there's a huge lesson in what David did, because he's about to fight the greatest battle of his life. And I've said this before and thought this before, but you know, it'd be so tempting as David to turn away from Goliath, the battle that God has already set up for him, that he has been prepared in the shepherd's field to fight and win, and to turn towards his brother and try to defend his heart, try to defend his motives, try to say, God sent me, Dad sent me. I'm sent. I left the shepherd's field because I'm sent. But he doesn't do it. He turns away. And that's a huge lesson for us as well. He didn't allow himself to get distracted. 1 Samuel 17:31, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, because David is inquiring about this giant, Goliath, and how to kill him, and how to redeem the name of the God of Israel. And Saul sent for him, and David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. So here's this shepherd boy who, you know, is probably pretty scrawny. He's the youngest of eight, so he's definitely not the biggest guy around. And here's this giant who's over 9 feet tall. And this little shepherd boy is telling the king of Israel, don't be afraid, I will fight the giant. And Saul says something very powerful as well. You are not able. And I thought about that too. Here's David being prepared in his shepherd field to go and do what God has called for him to do, and that is to kill this giant. He was prepared in the shepherd field. We know he was, and we're going to look at it more in the Word, because we know how he killed the giant, with the instruments that he used over and over and over again in the shepherd's field. And here's a leader who should be encouraging him that says, you're not able. And that's happening to some people where you feel like, I'm really stepping out and I need backing. And the very people that you would think of leadership, whether it be in your business again or in ministry or whatever else, say, I don't think that you can do that. You're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been fighting since his youth. But see, waiting in his shepherd field had strengthened David to kill Goliath, and he knew it. 1 Samuel 17:34, but David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it from the lion's mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it." What did he strike it and kill it with? A slingshot and a stone. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." It's kind of like, wow, this kid's on fire. Let him go. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. If you've got a Bible again, underline that. He was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. I want you to just note something. I can kind of go off on tangents some. I hope not to. But I want you to understand in the Bible, bronze represents humanity and judgment. And if you look at Goliath's armor, it's bronze. And if you look at Saul's armor, it's bronze. See, because Saul was going to go out and fight in the strength of man. And Goliath was going to go out and fight in the strength of man. Bronze. And David wasn't used to fighting in the strength of man. So he took it off. He was going to fight his battles with the weapons that he was used to using, that God had prepared for him to be used to using in his shepherd's field of waiting. And I think, honestly, if he'd gone out there, David, and all that fervor that God gave him to fight against Goliath, and then he kind of thought, man, you know, the king of Israel, who's supposed to be really wise and who's over me, says, I better put on his armor. So I better have this man-made protection here. Look at Goliath. He's 9 foot tall, and he's got all of his bronze. So I've got to try, at least in the strength of man, to fight and have a fighting chance. If he'd done that, I think David would be dead. David took off the bronze. And you know, symbolically, he took off what? Two things bronze represents in the Bible. Man's strength. And what was the other? Judgment. Before he fought Goliath, he took off the judgments from his brothers. He took off the judgment against his own heart. And you know what? If you're in any kind of a battle in your life, any kind of a spiritual battle whatsoever, take off the bronze. Don't try to fight in your own strength. Take off the bronze. Take off the judgment. The judgments that other people have had against you, and maybe even the judgments that you've had against other people. And so here's David, going up against Goliath without any human strength. 1 Samuel 17:40 says, "Then he took off his staff in his hand." Then he took his shepherd's staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag with a sling in his hand. And he approached the Philistine. What weapons did he take to go against Goliath? The weapons that God had prepared, that he was used to, that he was prepared to use, that he had been waiting in the shepherd's field, waiting to become king, waiting to be all that God had anointed him to be. And all of us in this room have been anointed by God. When we receive the Holy Spirit, that is when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be our Lord and our Savior. We receive the Holy Spirit, which is the anointing In the Old Testament, represented by oil of God. We are chosen of God. And yet in some area of our life, we may have been in a shepherd's field, but God has prepared the instruments and the weapons that He wants to use to kill the giants and to glorify His name. So here's David and his little shepherd's weaponry. 17, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole earth will know that there is a God in Israel." All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. And the Philistine moved closer to attack him, but David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Samuel 18, verse 14 says that in everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. But where was he prepared for that success? Waiting. Waiting strengthens our faith. And waiting in our shepherd's field, wherever it might be, maybe our shepherd's field is raising young children and learning the secrets of God's heart because of the love that just swells up in our hearts for our own child. And sometimes that's a hard wait because we want to get out. Sometimes waiting in our shepherd's field is working under somebody at a business where you feel like, you know, I want beyond this place. Or you have a dream for your own business. Or you have a dream for your life, for the things that you haven't gotten to do. But see, there's a shepherd's field where God has been preparing you. And it's called waiting and believing. And then all of those things, that when it looked like nothing was happening, it looked like we were spinning our wheels, it just looked like we were just waiting. Whatever that shepherd's field was, is what will prepare us to go out and do the call that God has on every single one of our lives. You know, knowing so much more about David and looking at David's life, it makes even Psalm 23 so much more meaningful to me. I think it will be to you as well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think this is so powerful because I'm wondering when this was written. I'm wondering if this was written after Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel. And then David went right on back to the shepherd's field with the sheep. It's kind of like David got a call from God and he knew what he was supposed to do. Just like sometimes we have this dream in our heart, and we just feel like there's something that God wants us to do, and yet we're back in the shepherd's field. It's Monday, 8 o'clock. It's the morning drive. Or you're back, you know, with the little kids at your house, which I love little children, but every once in a while it's like, Lord. Or you're back with your same boss, or you're back with your same situation, or maybe not even that. Maybe it's a sickness or a situation that's difficult relationally. Maybe it's just like, God, why am I in this shepherd's field? I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for you to answer me. And so here's David. He's been anointed. And I'm wondering if he's going back and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to be in want. I'm not going to be dissatisfied. You're my shepherd, God. I'm not going to be hasty. And then he goes back and he says, you quiet me. You restore my soul. And then if you look verse 25 in Psalm 23, verse 5, sorry. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. Where did David get that? From Samuel. And yet back in the shepherd's field. I love David's heart because God shows his heart to wait on God. I've often thought, you know, of all the men in the Bible, I wonder why God said David is a man after my own heart. Because there's so many people in the Bible that God could have said that about, but particularly David. And I think it's because David never, ever, ever let go of God. Even after he became king of Israel. And he sinned greatly. And he had an affair with a married woman and killed her husband. He didn't walk away. He still believed in the place that God had for him in the kingdom. And he cried out to God in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence. You see, David continued to trust God and wait on God. And all of that, I look at all of this that he wrote, like in Psalm 27, verse 13, in the Amplified Version. I do have it on your handout. Some of my favorite scriptures. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage and let your heart be stout and enduring. Wait for, hope for, expect the Lord. Wait for, hope for, expect the Lord. Where did David get that? From his shepherd's field. Looking up in the starry sky, with a bunch of sheep around him, no one to talk to, thinking probably, wow, wonder what I'll be someday. Or, wow, I was anointed for something great. And I'm back in the shepherd's field. What is God doing with my life? But that's where David learned to wait. And that's where his faith was strengthened. And that's where I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever shepherd's field you might be, maybe you're waiting on a healing. Maybe you're waiting on one of your children. Maybe you're waiting on something financially. Maybe you're waiting on something in your career. Maybe you're waiting. But let that be your shepherd's field. Instead of cursing the moments and pacing in your heart, you know what it's like to pace in your heart. It's like, gosh, when is this going to come? I can't stand this anymore. Say, God, thank you for the things that you're teaching me in my shepherd's field so that you can use me to kill the giants, so that you can use me to glorify your name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you, Father, for every single shepherd's field that I've been in. I thank you, Father, for every single shepherd's field that every person listening to this message has been in and is in. God, I thank you that you're a God where nothing is wasted, ever. Father, I pray that each one of us would take up our slingshots, take up those little stones, the instruments that you've prepared for us to be used to kill the giants, that we would take off the armor of bronze. We would take off judgments towards others or towards ourselves. We would remove also, depending upon the strength of man. And we would trust you that you will give us, in our shepherd's field, the instruments that we need to complete the call that you've given us in this life, so that we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org. KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.